Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 255 of the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of boys soccer today. My first guest is in his first season as the head coach of the Yankees squad, and he has guided the Hawks to a 4-2 record. He is Trevor Fucio. Trevor, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys are already 6 games into the season. You know, are you satisfied with where the team is at right now?
Yeah, I think we're sitting pretty good so far. I like the progress we've made. Performances have been proven every game, so that's always a plus. Obviously, would like to have gotten one of the two we lost, but for how things are going so far, I'm pretty satisfied.
Well, we talked about this in the preseason, but of course, you were previously an assistant for the team, and the former head coach, Marcus Varnum, is also back now as an assistant, so it's been a pretty smooth transition for everybody, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really smooth. So I've been around for 3 years in the program, so the boys are pretty used to knowing what they're supposed to expect from me and my principles, and then they love working with Marcus, and having him back is always a plus, so I'm really happy to have him, and the boys are happy he's around too, so...
Your team is off to a 1-1 start in the CIML Conference. You guys posted a 3-0 win over Waukee a week ago before dropping a 3-1 decision to Johnston on Monday. The Dragons are the defending state champs, and your team was able to take them down to the wire before they scored a couple of late goals. You know, do you think you guys can take some positives away from that game?
Yeah, there's a ton of positives to take away from it. Obviously, anytime you are up 1-0 late in the second half against the defending champions, you're obviously doing something right. But also, it's very tough to blow that second half lead as well, so that was also frustrating, but really let us know where we're currently sitting at, and that was kind of the goal for the night. Is we knew that we could compete with them, so and it just showed us that we're pretty close to being where we need to be, and now just how do we go from being close to getting over the line and winning those types of games.
Well, I've been in Phoenix all weekend for the Final Four, so I wasn't there on Monday, but my photographer, Drew, told me about the controversy there in the second half. So apparently one of the Johnston coaches got a yellow card, and then another coach got involved, and he ended up getting a red card and getting ejected. And as I understand it, he had to be escorted off the field. You know, what was going on there?
Yeah, it was an intense second half. Obviously, it's an emotional environment when it's a 1-1 game in the second half. And thus, yeah, no. Jim, their head coach, got a yellow card because I believe he stepped onto the field a bit too far. And when the ref came over to talk to him, I didn't hear what the assistant said, but it did seem like a pretty quick red, and I wasn't too far away, so I was pretty shocked that he got a red. Seemed a little excessive for the time, but yeah, emotions were running hot. But I thought it was a little extreme.
Well, I know those officials have a tough job because there's so many, you know, judgment calls in a way that could go either way sometimes, and the coaches never seem to be happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, Landon Benge has been the leader of your attack this season with 5 goals and 2 assists. He drew a foul in the box on Monday, and that led to a penalty kick by Austin Lundberg, his 3rd goal of the season. Cal Wahlberg has also been a key contributor for you guys, the 2 goals and 2 assists. Have you been pleased with the opportunities that your attack has created thus far?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest positives that we took away from not only the Johnston game, but just overall so far is the quality of chances that we've created. And that's came from a lot of our midfield as well, so it's nice to see them get involved. Lando's obviously off to a good start. He's been quality this year. And then the other guy who hasn't really got on the score sheet too much yet, but Andrew Loader's been quality up top. But he still hasn't really got going on the score sheet yet, but I assume that he'll start taking off here soon. So been really happy with what we've produced up top.
Well, then on defense, your team has already posted 3 shutouts, allowing no goals against Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Waukee, and Davenport North. Your primary goalkeeper has been sophomore Jackson Dockendorf, and he's already racked up 24 saves in more than 400 minutes of action this season. Senior Ben Herwig has also seen some time in goal. You know, how would you assess the play of your defense thus far?
Yeah, I'll give Jackson a shout-out quick. He's been quality. Last year, he kind of struggled throughout the year, as a freshman does in the CIML when you throw him in net. But he's really stepped up this year. And then our back line gave up, I think it was 3 shots on goal in the Davenport North game and the Waukee game combined. So obviously, it's hard to be mad at that. It just obviously don't like giving up three against Johnston, but the back line overall has been really quality. And, you know, I ask a lot of our forwards to do a lot of defending as well, so, which is kind of an adjustment from what they have been exposed to in club. So it's just nice to see everybody buying in, and we defend as a team, and it's been pretty good so far.
Well, you guys will now prepare to play three games in the Valley Invitational this weekend. You'll face Norwalk on Friday. Then you'll meet Millard, Nebraska West, and Ames on Saturday. You know, do you know much about any of those teams yet?
Yeah, I'm pretty good buddies with the Norwalk coaches. They've, you know, had a little bit of a rough start, but they've got a quality group. So we'll need to be ready for a fight with them. We lost them last year, so we should be pretty hungry, trying to revenge that loss. And then obviously coming off the loss at Johnston, we should have a hungry group. Millard West is I'm obviously a little less familiar with since they're out of state, but they're off to a 5-3 start, and all of their games have been close. So we have the challenge of playing them the night after a game. Well, they don't play Friday, but they've got the challenge of traveling. So it'll be nice to see how we can adjust and if we can pick up on some things early in the game against them. And then Ames' quality start so far. They're 5-1. They've only given up, been scored on against Northwest. But all the other games, they've had a clean sheet and created, you know, quality opportunities in all of those games. So, you know, it'll be a real tough stretch for us just because three games in 24 hours is a ton for the boys. So we'll see if we can battle through it and if they can get some positive results this weekend.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you guys opened the season against Pella, and I was at that game, and that was one of the coldest soccer games I've ever been to. And now it appears on Saturday that the temperature is going to be nearing 80. So now you've got to, you know, be ready for some drastically different conditions. And like you mentioned, playing three games in 24 hours, you know, I imagine you'll probably have to rotate some guys in and out, won't you?
Yeah, and that was something we've touched on after the Monday game. You know, we really thought that Johnston goes really deep into their bench, and we didn't go as deep, and that might have cost us towards the end of that game. But we just talked about how we can't get through this weekend with 15 guys. So the practice after that Johnston game, we really discussed, hey, we need guys to step up through the week because we're going to have to call on you over the weekend. So prove that you're ready for the minutes this weekend and can play a role. So yeah, we'll have to go at least 20 deep this weekend with three games, so hoping some of the young guys can step up.
And then next week your team will be back in a conference play with two big road games at undefeated Southeast Polk and Dowling. Now the Maroons improved to 5-0 last night with a 4-2 victory at Ankeny Centennial, and they also own a win over Valley. You know, do you feel like Dowling and maybe Johnston are going to be the teams to beat in the league this year?
Yeah, I think obviously soccer is pretty unpredictable, but coming into the year, we thought Johnston would have a really quality team, Dowling as well, just with some of the transfer activity that's going to happen along the way in the offseason. But yeah, we'd say those two are, at least in Central Iowa and probably in the state, they're two of the top three teams in the state. So we're not scared to play against anybody. You know, we took Johnston late into the second half. I think we've got a quality side, so it'll be a fight, but I think our boys are up for it. So really think our toughness has grown throughout the season as well, which we expect to be in those close games towards the end of the game. So just got to make sure we're ready for a fight next week.
Well, you told me in the preseason that you were going to keep the team's goals in-house, but you know, I know every team's ultimate goal is to get to state and hopefully win it, and I haven't seen any rankings yet, but in order to, you know, to reach those goals, it certainly helps to get ranked and to possibly earn a number one seed for a sub-state tournament. I know it's early, but you know, do you feel like your team could be in that mix to earn a number one seed based on what you've seen thus far?
Yeah, we take it game by game. Obviously, with three this weekend, we'll take it game by game by game pretty quick this weekend. But, you know, we think we've got a quality side. I really like the group of guys that we have, good mix of talent and experience. So, you know, we talk about seeding a decent amount. We didn't play very well last year throughout the year to get out of that kind of 3-4 seed. And that's when you get lined up with Johnston, who ends up going to win it in the first round. So,
right.
You know, the goal is to be, you know, on the line of can we host a couple games at sub-state. And then, obviously, you know, I think we've got a quality side to get to state. And, you know, we've played against Lidmar, who, in my opinion, is a top, probably on that one seed line right now. Johnston, obviously, on that one seed line. And, you know, they've been close games. So I think we can do it. They've been super coachable throughout the year as well so far. So as long as we can keep improving and stacking performances on top of each other, you know, I think we're in the mix. But like you said, it's early, so we still got a lot to prove.
Where do you feel like this team, you know, needs to make the most growth in order to reach those goals?
Yeah, I'd say in a lot of these games, you know, we've made some tactical adjustments to play based on how the other team is playing a bit. A lot of teams have set a lot of numbers forward, so we've played, you know, with a little more of a direct style than we probably want to. So really just trying to go into this weekend with how do we gain a bit more control and play the style that we want to, so we really put our stamp on the game and then get the results that way as well. Obviously, at the end of the day, we're chasing results, so like if we don't win the right way, I'm okay with that. But obviously want to start building our style out a bit more as we go on.
All right. Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. Coach, thanks for coming in and being on the podcast.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Amy on, that's impressive.
All right. Well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker. You probably heard her voice there when I was coming back on. She wasn't ready for me. But anyway, she's been on the podcast many times before. She's Rhonda Dix. Thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's a beautiful day here. And you're telling me off air, so the market's picking up a little bit right now?
It is. I don't know if everybody has a little extra spring in their step. They're starting to see some green out there. And it's Masters weekend, too. So, yeah, I think people are excited to get back out and enjoy some of the forecasted weather.
Yeah, I just got back from Phoenix, and the weather down there was just beautiful all weekend. Sunday, we went to a concert. It was like mid-70s, sunny all day. So, yeah. Yeah, it was just perfect. And now we got a nice day here.
So. I know. Sunshine always brings about people's moods, too. So.
You bet. Well, do you got some properties you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. Actually, I'm excited. We're putting some finishing touches on our newest market home for MJ Properties. It's been a moment since we've really had any open houses to invite the public into. But we'll have our ranch ready here this next weekend up in the Centennial States development on the northwest side of Ankeny. We've got another, and that ranch is just over 2,400 square feet, offers four bedrooms, including the finished basement, has a great view out the back, kind of backs up to a private little wetland area. But we've got another property that's nearing completion, also not too far behind. And like I said, our spec homes are springing up, so we have something for people that might not have planned to do a custom build with us, but might be in the market here for, you know, summer and prior to getting in before the school year. And of course, we have several people that are at different stages of custom building with us too, and that's fun.
Do you have a lot of people out looking right now for places?
We're seeing more people. Like I said, interest rates, even though they've ticked up a little bit here this last week again, too, I think people are coming to the rationalization, too, that they're not going to see those 3% interest rates any longer. They want to get in. They want to get settled. And phones are ringing and people are out clicking, of course, you know, behind the scenes. But foot traffic has picked up, too.
Well, I know people that I know that come back to Ankeny, they just marvel at the growth in this town, how there's houses going up, you know, everywhere. Do you think there's still room for Ankeny to grow even more, or do you think there is going to become a point where it's capped?
There's always room for growth, and obviously, I know kind of the hot spot that everybody's focused on right now in Ankeny is this northeast side. Everybody loves the addition of Costco and the suspense of what's going to kind of develop around that as well. I know that we're pushing a little bit north of Ankeny, but again, I think there's plenty of room for people, and we've been supporting the infrastructure quite well here too. I mean, it's a great quality of life.
Well, if anybody's interested in taking a look at you know, the homes that you're talking about there, or if they just want some good advice from a longtime realtor, what's your contact info?
Yeah, they can certainly reach out at my number, 515-975-3735, or on the Coldwell Banker website, my first and last name at CBDSM.
All right, Ron. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ Properties has also taken over as the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, and we appreciate their support. All right, well, my final guest today is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys soccer team, and his Jaguars are off to a 2-5 start this season. He is Brian Duax. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, I was at the game for the first half last night. Your team trailed Dowling at the break 3-2 and went on to drop a 4-2 decision to one of the state's better teams. I know your guys' record isn't what you want it to be, but you told me after the game that your team is trending in the right direction. You know, you obviously have a very young team that plays a lot of sophomores, and, you know, it's a growing process, isn't it?
It is. You can't rush age. You can't speed up time. We start 7 sophomores, a junior, and 3 seniors. those sophomores are getting thrown into the fire right off the get-go, and our schedule doesn't help our record right now.
Well, after giving up three early goals, your team did battle back, and you cut the deficit to 3-2 on a pair of PKs by your son, Ty. He now leads the team with 8 goals. You know, he's obviously had to become a huge leader for the team this year, especially after Truckee graduated early and left Ankeny. Do you think he's embraced that role?
I do. And you're right. You know, between transfers, between early graduation, plus seniors, I think we graduated like 18 or 19 guys last year. So, yeah, Ty and Bo have really stepped up into that leadership role, and Ty is taking more of a I-got-to-score-goals role versus, you know, when Truckee was around, it was I can be the assist guy and play the ball into him and let him do his thing. So he's definitely embraced it. You know, last night was an epic battle, if you ask me. You know, Jackson Teeling said, I hope we don't draw you in sub-state, which tells me we're doing something right. Even though the record's 2-5.
Well, Ty is always so calm and collected on those PKs. You know, I don't ever remember him missing one. Do you recall the last one, if ever, when he missed one?
He has missed one. I couldn't recall the exact. Actually, I could. He was playing Sporting against for his VSA rush team, and the keeper made the save. But yes, he has. If you recall last year, people started to realize what side he liked to go to. And me and him had a discussion, and now he's got it in his repertoire that he can go either direction, depending on what the keeper does.
All right. Well, Lucas De La Cuba and Andrew Kruger have each contributed 3 goals thus far. You know, have you been happy with the opportunities that your attack has been able to create thus far?
Yes and no. I think we're getting to the proper spaces. I think we're getting in what we like to call our hot zones, but we're not shooting enough, if you ask me. We're getting into the right place, but then we're trying to beat that next guy instead of taking a shot. So, a little bit of both.
All right. Well, you mentioned the youth on the team, and a lot of that's on the back line, but you do have an experienced goalkeeper in Andrew Nelson. He's played all but 10 minutes in goal this season. You know, how would you assess his play thus far?
I think Andrew has been really good. He's made some big saves. Like, I know you weren't in town for the Scut Catholic game, but he made some big saves in that Scut Catholic game. He made some big saves last night. He's done really well for us. Just like the rest of the team, though, we make some mistakes on occasion. And unfortunately for Andrew, when you're a goalkeeper and you make a mistake, 10 times out of 10, you get punished for it.
Well, Dowling is off to a great 5-0 start, and there's obviously so many great teams in your conference. Johnston's undefeated. They had a big win against Ankeny the other night. Do you feel like those are the two teams maybe to beat in the conference this year?
The CIML is a buzzsaw. Dan, you know, Johnston's really good, Dowling's really good, Northwest is really good, Valley's always good. You know, I think Ankeny is definitely trending in the right direction. I think Trevor's got them playing really well. I think we could be I don't think teams want to see us in the sub-state. And then you forget about Southeast Polk. They're undefeated still as well. Urbandale already beat us once. They're having a pretty good year. I mean, the CIML, I would say you could take any of those 9 teams and they would win almost every other conference in the state.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Wouldn't
teams.
Argue with you. Well, now your team still have the Council Bluffs on Saturday?
We are. Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. And I haven't seen a schedule for that tournament yet. Do you know who you're going to play?
Yeah, we play Omaha South, who is a perennial power in Nebraska. They're 8-2 as we speak. And then we play Lewis Central Saturday morning, who is unbeaten as well. I think they've only played 3 games, but they're 3-0. And they're typically a pretty good 3A side as well.
Well, I know it's supposed to be close to 80 degrees on Saturday, so I imagine you'll have to maybe rotate guys a little more for that game?
I hope so. You know, I need to, me and my staff need to get in a better rotation with those guys. There's a lot of guys who log a lot of minutes for us. And, you know, through the course of the year, if I can get them 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, you know, every game, that's going to add up. You know, in the course of the 16, 17, 18 game season.
Sure. Well, I understand that you'll have a new player that will become eligible today, and he'll be able to make his debut for the Jaguars this weekend. And he's a player that you're very familiar with. You know, I think there have been some rumors going around, but, you know, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience about your new player and how he came to be a part of your squad?
Yep. Super excited. This has been a bittersweet couple weeks, really couple months. You know, my son went down to Austin FC when he was 14. He had a year and a half where he was really thriving. Coaching changes, administration changes. It just kind of fell apart a little bit in terms of Austin FC. I didn't feel he was getting the training that he needed to continue to go to that next level. And because of that, my wife and I brought him home. So Tate is officially eligible today. It'll be a big addition to our squad. You know, it's always been my dream to coach my boys, and now I get to do it together on Ty's senior year, so that's really special.
Well, yeah, Tate's obviously a very talented player, else, you know, he wouldn't have been playing there. You know, how do you see him fitting into the team, and do you think, you know, he can take some of the pressure off Ty?
Absolutely. Like I told both of them when they started practicing together, this is not I need to outdo you. You know, the brothers don't need to battle to see who's the best. The brothers need to work together and be a little Batman and Robin game. You know, if you ask me, every team we've played so far in seven games, with the exception of maybe Dowling, but Dowling definitely identified Ty and didn't want him to find the ball. Iowa City West, every time he found the ball, they were triple teaming him. Same with Cedar Rapids Prairie. If you triple team him now, he's got his brother that he can just dump the ball to, and his brother's going to go chase it down. So, and vice versa, if they key on Tate because of his past, that's going to free up time for Ty.
Well, of course, Ty and Truckee were so good together the last 3 years. I mean, do you envision it being something like that?
Yep. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Well, do you think Tate will be able to adapt your system pretty quickly? And do you think the other players will be able to adjust, you know, to his presence as well?
I think so. You know, that's the biggest thing that I had a discussion with Tate about was, you can't come in here and think you're the best. These guys have been here. They've been working their butts off. They've put in the time. You have to come in. You have to adapt to our style. You have to play the way we want you to. And yes, I believe very quickly he'll adapt to it. You know, we had him run the fitness test in front of everybody. So, you know, everybody can see he didn't get a free pass, and he's not going to get a free pass just because of his last name.
Well, I can't say that I saw the Austin FC team play much at all. I mean, how would you describe the way they play to the way you guys play?
MLS Next Academies is a totally different animal because every single player there is super good with the ball. They're super clean. If you try and high press at an MLS Academy, you're going to get picked apart because every player is super high class in terms of technical ability. High school soccer is a little different. High school soccer, every team in the state has at least a couple guys that aren't quite as technically sound as they need to be. And typically good coaches try and pick on those guys. And most high school teams play a super high press where very few. For the last 2 years, I wouldn't say Tate has played in a high press system really at all or been high pressed.
Gotcha. Well, I haven't seen any rankings yet. Obviously, when they do come out, your guys with your record, you're not, probably not going to be ranked very high or if at all. But
I seriously doubt it.
But the goal every year is to get to state and hopefully win state. I know that's your goal.
Yep.
And to get there, it always helps to get a high seed, too. I mean, do you feel like if you guys come on strong at the end of the season, I mean, do you think you could still potentially get like a one or two seed?
I think that's probably a stretch, but yes. I think if we go 2-0 this weekend, next week we have three games, Valley, Norwalk, Waukee. We go 3-0 that week. All of a sudden, we're 7-5 with some pretty good wins, you know. Try and get one against Johnston, go to 8-5. You know, you just got to beat some of those higher ranked teams, and some of them have to fall a little bit. But I do think, you know, our strength of schedule is only going to get tougher, and we've probably played the toughest schedule there is already. You know, and with the new rankings committee, I don't know any of the people. It's 10 people that aren't coaches or media, or, you know, I think one of them is Charlie Bales. I don't know who any of the other ones are. So, are they going to take into consideration, you know, that first weekend I played four games in like 42 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that loss to Washington was, we didn't deserve to win, but to play a fourth game in literally 36 hours, 42 hours, it was draining on even the guys who don't get a ton of minutes. That's a lot of soccer in a very short period of time.
Well, you mentioned what the Dowling coach said after the game last night, that he didn't want to see you guys in sub-state, so maybe he can see the potential, you know, that your team has, especially when you add Tate into the mix. And we talked about, you know, what your team's goal is every year. I mean, assuming you guys continue to get better and you throw him in there, I mean, you guys still feel like those goals are out there for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, right now, our main goal is to stay focused, keep your eye on the prize, get better every day. Every game in seven games, it's been an improvement. It's getting there. It's just little mental lapses that we keep having, or not finishing a goal. You know, last night with 2 minutes to go, we had a ball on their 3-yard line and didn't score. Like, it's harder not to score that than it is to score it. And the ball's not breaking our way right now. You know, adding a player of the caliber of Tate, does that change things? I think it'll ease a little bit of pressure off his brother. It'll ease a little bit of pressure off Brock Brazo, Lucas De La Cuba, Logan Page, Drew Kruger, all those guys going forward. But more, I think it'll ease the pressure off of our back line. You know, for 3 years, we were really blessed to have Truckee. Truckee, if you're under pressure, just go big, and that kid will go chase it down. Tate's the same way.
Well, I'm anxious to see how it all works out. I probably won't be going to Council Bluffs this weekend, but I'll see it be one of the games next week. Thanks a lot for coming in today, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We have boys soccer coaches Trevor Fuccio and Brian Duex from Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial, respectively. We also had realtor Rhonda Dix from Coldwell Banker. Appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.